Well, it is such a privilege to be back with you this morning, and it is truly just like coming home. Many of you, I've had the privilege of meeting and serving with in the past here. I look around and I see many familiar faces, and I praise the Lord for each of you. And for those of you that I've never had the opportunity of meeting, thank you for being here this morning and for being a part of the beginning of this missions conference. And we praise the Lord that this church still has the heart, the gumption to be able to support missions the way that they do, the way that they've always done for many, many years. As Pastor mentioned, I did come here in 1989. I was a young lieutenant. Actually, I'd just been promoted to captain, so... But I got saved in Nuremberg, Germany, back in 1986. And as I was getting ready to leave Germany, we knew that our orders said Fort Riley. Never been to Kansas. And so it just so happened, as the Lord would have it, a family came in the door there in Germany, got to talking to them. I said, "Where did you all come from?" And they said, "Oh, we just left Kansas out at Fort Riley." I'm like, "Oh, really?" And I was like, "Wow, that's where we're heading." I said, "By any chance, do you know of a good church there?" The lady reaches inside, pulls out her Bible, reaches in the Bible, and pulls out a bulletin from Faith Baptist Church. Back then, it was in the motorcycle shop over there behind Briggs. Is that where it's at? And so she pulled out that bulletin, and I went, "Lord, this is all you." And we came. Got stationed here after I went back to school and then ended up out here. And we came here to Faith and never even visited another church. Didn't even look back. Just hit the ground running here. And but as the pastor was saying, about halfway through, the Lord really began to tug at my heart. I knew the Lord was calling me into full-time ministry. I knew that was going to be so difficult, you know, in my mind, from a lot of different reasons. I was the company commander of the 12th Chemical Company here. And I had to go to my boss, and literally, I know this sounds weird, I asked my boss to relieve me of my command. And he's like, "What? Why would I do that?" I said, "Well, school starts in August, seminary starts in August. My pastor said that if I wanted to be in the ministry, I had to get some Bible training. And so I want to be in class in August when it starts." This was January. And he said, "Okay." So he gave me a short tour there as a company commander. I thought I would never, ever put on a uniform ever again. And so I went off to Bible school. And about halfway through, I ran into a guy. It was the chaplain in the military. And in the process of doing so, I actually had heard him preach before. I had never heard a chaplain preach the way he preached. Matter of fact, it shocked me. I walked up to him afterwards. I said, "Can you preach that way in the military?" "Oh, absolutely." Stunned me. And so all of that led to the fact that where the military reached back out to me, all because, I mean, just God is so good. Reached back out to me, and I ended up back in the chaplaincy in the reserves. Thought I was going to be in the reserves for the rest of my life from that standpoint. And I was, but I got activated again. Back in 2005, I thought it was going to be for just about a year, and that turned into 10 years. So back in 2016, I retired from the military with 36 years, and so and immediately began to work with Foundations Baptist Fellowship International as the endorser and the recruiter for the chaplaincy. So I've been doing this now for about 7 years, churches and seminaries and things of that nature. So, and I praise the Lord, but I'm still able to serve in that capacity. This may be the only time you're here this week. I hope you'll be here the rest of this week. Tomorrow night, I'm actually going to be preaching on Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 about this Jerusalem that we talk about and what that looks like today from that standpoint. So I hope you'll come back for that. But if this is the only service you hear, let me just draw attention to the table out there. Kevin Brown's got his table on the one side with Armed Forces Baptist Missions, and he spoke this morning. On the other side is our table with FBFI, I do have some brochures here about local chaplaincy and what it means to be a chaplain with the local community, police department, fire department, hospital, hospice, you name it. We have chaplains in all those organizations. I got a chaplain right now up in Chicago who is the chaplain for the Secret Service up in Chicago, so that's pretty interesting. We have about 60-plus military chaplains. So all together, we have about 80-some chaplains that we represent in that organization. And so also my prayer card, and I know I've already been told by Joe and many others, this obviously is an old picture. Even Kevin told me. Thanks, Kevin. So, but anyways, yes, it is an older picture. If you don't get anything else off of there, FBFI is also the publisher of Frontline Magazine. And I know with Pastor Byford here, he's probably mentioned this several times. But if you have not come across one of these magazines, there are several out there on my table, I would just encourage you, take one of these magazines, read through it. These folks do a wonderful job in all of the different things that they write about concerning just life, how to live this Christian life and to do it accordingly even to the Bible. And you know what? We're going to come across some things that are just kind of tough. You know, like for instance, technology and social media. Anybody had any conversations about any of that lately? What's good? What's bad? How do Christians navigate through some of that? Folks, listen, you're not walking down this path alone. There's folks who've also thought through this. They've written some great articles that can be of a help to you and very pertinent stuff. So if you would like to get a copy of this in your home forever and ever and ever or until you die, then you can get one of these, and there's subscription forms right in the very magazine itself. So hope you'll take that. So had a wonderful time with the children's ministry this morning. So what did we learn about? What did we learn about this morning? Chickens and foxes. There you go. Good job. And if you want the rest of the story, come see them. They'll tell you about chickens and foxes. So, but for us, we have to ask a question. But in order to do so, I'm going to have you turn to James chapter 4. And we're going to take the rest of our remaining time here very quickly and talk about something that's very, very important. And it's going to answer a couple questions. For instance, why missions? Well, because the Bible says so. Okay, great, great. But why? Why missions? Why do we send missionaries? I mean, what's the point? Here's another question. What's the urgency? Is an urgency about sending missionaries? Is an urgency about reaching this Jerusalem of ours? And the answer is absolutely. There's a tremendous urgency, and we see the Great Commission there in Matthew 28, and then even in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see reaching that Jerusalem. But we have to stop and say, but why? Why is there such an urgency? The Bible tells us in James chapter 4. Why all the rush? Here's why. James chapter 4. Verses 13 through 17. Go ye now, ye that say, tomorrow or today we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is but, or even, a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But go back to verse 14. For what is your life? It is but a vapor. If I could just summarize everything this morning, it's this. There's the urgency. Your life is but a vapor. I will tell you this, that as a chaplain and as a pastor, I've spent a lot of time in cemeteries. More so than I really want to. I've buried a lot of young soldiers in my career. But I will tell you, even then, I know this may sound weird, but I actually like to walk through cemeteries. Even sometimes on vacation, you know, when we'll go maybe to Gettysburg or we'll go someplace else, national cemeteries and stuff. I love walking through cemeteries. You can learn so much about people in those cemeteries. You know, you can learn from the standpoint of, or maybe just from reading a tombstone. You ever just enjoy doing that, just reading a tombstone? You go, wow, that's really cool. You can find out that, hey, that's a loving father, a loving mother. You can find out, you know, a wonderful friend. Sometimes they'll write some really cool epitaphs on there. You know, sometimes they're really instructional. Sometimes they're historical. Sometimes they're just witty. Sometimes funny. You ever see the one that says, I told you I was sick? You know? But, you know, sometimes they can be that and funny. But here's something else I learned about the cemetery. They all have something in common. For the most part, on every tombstone, you will find a set of dates, won't you? Here's when they came into this world. Here's when they left this world. But usually, especially on the older tombstones, there was always this little tiny thing right between those two dates. A dash. And that really began to intrigue me, because the thought that went through my mind was this. What does that dash represent? And you know what that dash represents? Your life. Think about it. That dash represents your entire life. And isn't that amazing that something so small, so short, would represent your life? And then all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me. That's exactly what James 4:14 says. Your life is but a dash. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or blasphemous to the, but that's exactly what it says. Your life is simply a dash. And we don't know how long that dash will be there. I have a young cousin, her name was Isla, 17 years old. She, senior in high school back in 2022. Smart, oh my goodness, smart girl. Matter of fact, she had just gotten a full ride scholarship to Vanderbilt University for law school. As a senior in high school, full ride scholarship. I was like, what? She was also a tremendous, tremendous athlete. She had lettered in all these different things. She could have gotten just as many scholarships athletically as she did educationally or for grades. Loved sports. So much so, she was involved in every sport. April 29th, 2022. She was finishing up tennis practice, had just called her mom, said, hey, I'm on my way home, be home in a few minutes, coming from school. They still have no idea why. But 2 miles from her house, her car on this very busy road just abruptly veered to the left, right into the path of an oncoming semi, tractor trailer, and hit him head on. She was on life support for 2 days before they took her off. 17 years old. She had her whole life ahead of her. Now you compare that to my mom, who on December 20th of that same year was 89 years of age. And I had the privilege of sitting there with my mom there in that nursing home. I was singing to her, singing her favorite hymns, humming to her, reading her Bible scripture as she took her last breath and graciously went out into eternity, 89 years of age. And many people would say, but she lived a good, long life, right? But let me just help you with something. Whether you're 17 or whether you're 89, and you put that in perspective with eternity, it's but a dash. It's just a dash. Which leads me to the conversation. Don't we need to spend some time and talk about that dash for a moment? Because if it is so short, I have to ask you a question. What are you doing with the dash? I think every once in a while we just need to stop and ask God, what am I doing with this dash that you've given to me, Lord? Now, in doing so, we need to consider a couple things. And I want to be quick about this, but I want to help us to think through this. You know, as we consider a couple things, first of all, there's a couple things we don't have any control over. Like, for instance, the day that you were brought into this world, okay? Praise the Lord that your mom and dad allowed you to come into this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't think that we would have this conversation in this country for as many years with the millions of babies that we have killed. But I praise the Lord that your parents said, I'm letting this one come in. Amen? We'll never take that for granted. But, you know, that's one thing you don't have any control over. And on the flip side, you don't have any control of the day you die. Now, some of you right now are saying, not so fast, Brother Willis, because that's not true. Because if I choose to kill myself, if I choose to commit suicide, I'm the one who determined when I'm leaving. True or false? False. What? Hey, when I taught school up in Kansas City a few years ago, there was a guy in our church who was a finance officer. And he was a part of a pretty large firm in this finance thing. And they had some problems with some finances. And he knew that he was going to be charged at some point, probably with embezzlement. So like he normally did, he would go out to the park and he would eat his lunch. But this particular day, as he went out to go eat his lunch, he reached into his glove compartment and pulled out a pistol and said, I'm ending it today. Put the pistol in his head, pulled the trigger, and did not die. Lived for another 15 years. Blind for the rest of his life because he severed both optical nerves. But in that reality, can I tell you what Bayless, right? Can I tell you what God said?
He's not ready.
You're not ready. See, even when sometimes we think that we have control, God says, not so fast, Skippy. I'm in control of this dash. So, you know, we don't have control over a couple things. However, we have to stop and be mindful that there are some choices that we need to make. There are some choices that we need to consider very, very carefully before somebody puts a final date on a tombstone. What do you mean, Brother Willis? The reality is that regardless of when that time comes, you are going to spend somewhere for the rest of eternity. Just because you take your last breath on earth doesn't mean it's over. There is this thing that the Bible very clearly talks about, this place called heaven and this place called hell. And amazingly, God, because He loves us, and because of His grace, and because of His mercy, has gone before all of us and made a plan, a way, so that we can have a home in heaven for all eternity to live with a loving God. But He gives us a choice. And the choice is, will you choose to live with me in heaven? Or will you choose to go to a place called hell? Now, that sounds like, whoa, and some people are going to go, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean by that? You know, would a loving God ever really send a person to hell? And I say, let me just tell you a little secret. God didn't send you to hell. You did. You did. Because if you choose not to accept the wonderful gift that He has already provided for you, and you reject that gift, you've chosen your destination. Amen? See, God tells us very clearly. Let me just ask you a question. You say, is that true? Of course it is. How do you know? Well, let me just ask you a question. Are you sure that you have a home in heaven for all eternity when you do die? What do you mean? If you were to die today, or even 5 years from now, are you 100% sure that all your sins are forgiven? And that you personally have a home in heaven for all eternity? Do you know that? I want you to think. I want you to look deep down inside and ask yourself that question personally. Do you know for sure? Chaplain, there's nobody that can know for sure. No one. Well, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Not that you think, not that you hope, but you know that you have eternal life. Question, do you know it? 100%. So, Brother Willis, I don't know it. That's okay. You're in good company. That's the exact same thing I had to say in Nuremberg, Germany, back in 1986 when Ron Comfort was preaching in that revival meeting. And he asked that question, and I couldn't answer the question. And the reality had to come to fact to say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to know that? Bible says very clearly a couple things. First and foremost, you need to recognize that you're a sinner. How many does that apply to? All of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have sinned before a holy God. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none righteous. No, not one. I am a sinner. Number two, there's a penalty for that sin. Unlike what the world would say. The world says, hey, just eat, drink, do whatever you want. You know, there's no consequences for your sin. Really? That's not what God says. God says the wages of sin is death. That word death there is the word separation. Separation. Let me rephrase it. For the wages of sin is separation. Separation from what? Wrong question. Separation from who? That's the better question. Because see, if we live in our sin and then die in our sin, and if God can allow no sin to come in His presence, follow the bouncing ball, then no sin can come into heaven. Which means you can't be there either if your sin has not been taken care of. How can my sin be taken care of? I'm glad you asked. Because it already was taken care of on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ chose to give His life, to shed His blood, to pay for your sin with His blood. And He chose to do that as a plan before the foundation of the world that God had already put into motion, that He did this, God knowing that we would sin, but God still yet willing for His Son to die on the cross of Calvary, that He might die, that we might live. Amen. What do I need to do? Nothing. What? Nothing. Because no works can save you. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. You can't do a single work to gain any merit with God. No sacrament will save you. No being good will save you. No hoping that when you get to the end that your good will outweigh your bad. That won't save you. Only one thing will save you. The Bible says that if we shall confess with our mouths that which we believe in our heart, how that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, accepted Him, For as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the sons of God. My question is this, do you know that? Is it settled in your heart? Has there been a time to where you've recognized those things and you've called out to a loving God and said, God, I can't save myself. But I sure do need your grace. And I need that salvation. Would you save me, Lord? Now, many of you right now can think of a time when you have done that. Maybe it was as a young child, maybe it was an older adult, but maybe you can say, I can pinpoint the day when I did that. How many of you say, I can do that? There's someone here that maybe say, I can't do that. My friend, I've got to encourage you. Don't wait another day. Don't attempt to wait another day. I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just trying to be realistic. The realism is this. Your life is but a dash. Ayla had no idea that at the end of tennis practice that she would go out into eternity that night. Had no idea. You don't have any idea whether you'll even make it home for lunch. True or false?
True.
And I'm telling you, if this issue is not settled, then can I tell you this? Then it's already settled. Think about that. If you haven't settled it here, then it's already settled by eternity's sake. Folks, listen. You need to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone. And if you have any question whatsoever about what that means, then please, before you walk out of this door today, you stop me, you stop Pastor, you stop Nathan, you stop one of these older, you stop them and say, how can I settle that issue? Would you do that? Please, would you do that? But for those of you who know Christ is your personal Savior, and you've made that choice, real quickly here, I have to sum this up, but the question is, so then, why is this dash so important? Why must I give attention to this thing of this dash? Here's just another couple things to consider, real fast. Number one, here you go. You only have one life to live. That's why it's so important. You only have one life. You know what's interesting? How many of you have ever walked into the cemetery and found a tombstone that said a date and then said dash, 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 and then another date? I've never found a tombstone that had multiple dashes. I've been in the chaplaincy just a few years. And there's a couple of religions out there that think, hey, you know what? If you don't get it right the first time, then you'll get it right the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, this thing called karma. I was the king in my prior life. I came back as a cockroach this time. Next, I don't know what I'll be next time. We laugh at that. And it's ludicrous. You're right, it is. But there are people who will give their lives saying that this is the way it is. And you just want to lovingly say, no, you've got one dash. What are you going to do with this dash? Second thing you need to understand about this dash. This dash, ready? It's not your own. What? This life that you have, it's not your own. God gave you this life to be used for His honor and for His glory. Christians, understand. Please understand. Your life is not your own just to go out there and live it any old way that you want to. Your life is a gift from God, and this life is to be used for Him. Sadly, that's not what the world's philosophy is. We hear it all the time. The world's philosophy says, it's my life, it's my body, I'll do with it what I want to, leave me alone. All about self, all about pleasure, all about, well, you name it. But unless God intervenes, there is no thought for eternity in their thinking. But proper thinking about God includes God's perspective of why He created us. Why did God even create us? It wasn't so that I can go out and live any old way that I want. God created you and me for a purpose. What was the purpose? Therefore, whether to eat or to drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You have a purpose, and your purpose is to glorify God. You say, I'm not even a born-again believer. Your life is to glorify God. And if it means that He has to do whatever to get your attention, to bring you into Him so that He can save you, to bring Him glory. Wow. Think about that. But you who know Him, our life should be summed up with this. What are you doing to bring glory to God today? See, there's only two choices on the shelf. Serving God or serving self. Which one is it? Question, which one brings glory to God? That's the question. See, your life is not your own. That's why this dash is so important. So I finish with this thought. What shall we do then? Here it is. Stay focused. Stay focused on God. Stay focused on how you live your life. Brother Willis, that's tough. Why is it so tough? Because we have everything out there trying to distract us. Everything else, everything out there trying to pull us away and taking our mind off of the things of God. Isn't that true? Which means we have to stay on track. How do you do that? Well, first way, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How do you do that? Seek ye. That's not hard. That's not rocket science. It literally just means, seek ye first. First in what? First in my day. First in my priorities. First in my emphasis on what I'm doing for the day. First in my plans. When's the last time we stopped and said, God, what do you think about this? How many of you have ever bought a house before? How many of you have ever prayed about buying that house? How many of you bought a house without praying? Oh, bless your hearts. See, even in something simple, I know that's big. Maybe it's a future mate. Maybe it's, you know, it can be anything. But when's the last time we said, God, what do you think about this? How many of us, and I don't want any hands being raised and confessionals going on right now, but let me ask you a question. How many of you started today in the Word of God? I know it's Sunday. You're going to be in church. I got it. But how many of you woke up at 6:45 this morning or whatever and spent some time reading your Bible? Anybody? Is that what that verse really means? Sure does. Even in starting off our day, how are we going to have the power, the wisdom, everything that we need to live for today if we don't seek Him first? Come on. Amen, Brother Willis. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Stay focused. See, it's hard to stay focused on God if we're not spending time with Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Real fast. Submit yourselves unto Him daily. Who am I submitted to today? You're either serving God or you're serving yourself. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, walk ye in Him. Walk ye in Him. Real quick, I got to tell you this, okay? So many times we read the Scripture and we go, walk ye in Him. And you say, great, but what's that mean? You ever thought about that? What's it mean to walk with God? It's not hard. It means I walk with God. How do I do that? By spending time with Him. Here's a little interesting thing. When Jesus Christ was here on the face of the earth, right? And He would go from town to town. How did He get there? He usually walked. Didn't take a plane, didn't take a bus, didn't take a car. He walked. And interesting as he would walk, ready? He always had a gathering, a following of individuals behind him. He was like this little magnet. He had people following him everywhere. But can I tell you something about what he did? And I'm not being blasphemous when I say that. But walking is more so than just one foot after the other walking. Because here's what Jesus would do. As he would walk, he would oftentimes stop and say, let's sit down here. Let me teach you a little lesson. Let me share something with you. Let me teach you about this. Let me teach you about that. Arizona, years ago, I walked up this mountain. Pretty good mountain there, South Mountain outside of Phoenix, with this elderly man. I kept thinking, he ain't going to make it up this mountain. And I mean, I'm 20 years younger than him. I just got out of the military. I'm pretty fit. And he's like in his 80s, and he said, come on, go on this mountain hike with me. And I thought, really? Okay. Dr. Tetro, Dr. T, as they called him, amazing guy. He'd walk up the mountain, and about every 15 or 20 minutes, he would stop. And he would say, Brother Willis, let me tell you about this cactus. Now, this cactus is a very specific cactus. It doesn't grow everywhere in the world. This cactus grows, and I got to tell you, Brother Kevin, by the time I got to the top of that mountain, I knew more about cacti than I ever wanted to know. I also figured it out was that's how he made it up the mountain. He'd stop every 15 minutes, take a breath. That's not Jesus' sake. But let me just tell you, that's how Jesus taught his disciples. You know what the command was? Walk with me. It's more so than just walking. God says, walk with me. I got a few things I want to teach you. Just walk with me. Submit yourself unto him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Serve him. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Serve, hey, bring glory to God. How do we do that? By serving him. What is your niche? What is how you serve him today? It may be in a vineyard out in the military. It may be here in Manhattan. It could be anywhere. But my question is, what are you doing to serve God today? If you're a part of this body of believers, you have a gift. Because the Holy Spirit has given it to you by the power of God. He's given you that spiritual gift. What gift is it? How are you using that gift for the glory of God? And how are you doing that? Through serving. How are you serving God today? I'm not! Then you're wrong. And you need to rectify that. I need to be serving God in some capacity. See, the last of this is simple. That's the practical pieces. But here's the last of it. For the Christian, know this. You will give an account to God Almighty for how you live this dash. How you live this life. If you're not sure what that looks like, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It'll either be wood, hay, stubble, gold, precious gems, you name it. That's the works that we do for the cause of Christ. One day I'll take my last breath. If the Lord chooses not to return, I will take my last breath. And so will you. How do you say that? Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. It's going to happen. When? I don't know. It could be today. There may be several people who have known Joe Willis through their life. And might even stand around and say, you know what, that was a good guy. He did this or he did that. You know, men may say all kinds of good things about you. And then again, maybe they won't. But can I help you with something? I could care less what men would say about me. I could care less what men say about me. But there is one that I'm concerned about and what he would say about me. And that's my Heavenly Father. What will he say about Tom Bard? What will he say about Patrick Zastra? What will he say about Pastor Byford? What will he say about Nathan Herbster? What will he say you. See, that's the importance of missions. That's the importance of understanding the urgency. That's the importance of understanding this dash. What will God say? Will He look at you and say something like this? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Whoa. Bayless, that's not good.
No.
And by the way, then it's too late. Well, I hope God would never say that to anybody in the sound of my voice, ever. Would He look at you and say, now there's one who lived entirely for himself? That's not very good either, is it? You know, I hope and pray that's not the case. But really, maybe He would say something like this. Now there's a man or woman after my own heart. Would He look and say, now there was an example of the believer in word and charity and love. Now there was an example. Or would He just simply look and say something like this? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. What He says then is according to how we live now. And we all have to take in accordance. What will you do with the dash? Yes, it's your life. But will you live it for God? What will you do with the dash? Father, we thank You so very much for this time. I pray that You would help us all to take into consideration this time honoring truth that there is but one life to live. And am I living it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I living this life, this dash, for God's honor and glory? Lord, if there's one here today that does not know You, I pray that they will not leave this building until that issue is settled. Convict their hearts. Help them not to have any peace until this issue is settled. If there's one here that has already settled the issue, but yet, Lord, they're not living for You, they're living more for self than they are for You, I pray that You would convict their hearts and help them to get that turned around, that they might be living this life for Your honor and glory and not for their own. Lord, these are very important truths, and time is short. Because life is but a dash. We praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?
I'd like you to take your hymn books and turn to 324. 324, a song that you may not be familiar with, but I want you to be familiar with the message. And the question is asked, what will you do with Jesus? Let's stand together, and I want to sing that, but while we're singing that, maybe God has gotten a hold of your heart. Have you been saved? Saved from sin, saved from hell. Number two, are you serving God? Are you surrendered to God? Are you willing to do what God would have you to do? Are you serving God? Let's sing this. If God is dealing with you, we have an altar here. And we'd love for you to let us have the opportunity to help you. And if you would like to come up and pray, if God is dealing with you, I hope you'll come. 324, let's sing this. If you know it, sing it with me.
What will you do?
Jesus, He who redeemed your soul. What will you do with Jesus, He who can make you whole? What are you going to do with that dash? What are you going to do with your life? Why would you even consider holding back, living for Him? He gave all for you. That third verse, let's sing that together. What will you do with Jesus, conquering Lord of all? What will you do with Jesus? How far you hear His call? How many steps can come to God just as we are. He knows our needs. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. He knows our sins. He knows our victories. My brother, years ago, said that he was working a job and a guy at work was hearing him pour out his burden. And the guy at work said to him, take it to Jesus. And I would say the same thing to you. Take it to Jesus. You say, well, I don't know if I know who He is. I don't know what's all involved in that. It is the greatest pursuit in eternity to know Jesus. And I would encourage you to do that. Thank you so much for coming and being with us this morning. We are going to have a dinner right afterwards, and so we'll give you a few minutes to say hello to each other. But if we could make our way into the fellowship hall, those of you that are staying, we want to encourage you to eat with us. If you did not bring anything, that's okay. You can have mine. Which is probably way too much. We'd love for you to stay in the fellowship with us. Let's pray. Tonight, Brother Kevin Brown will be preaching to us. Brother Willis will be presenting a little bit more of his ministry. And this is going to be a fun week. And I realize Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night's a lot. especially if you don't go to church that often. But I hope that you will come and join us and just do one service at a time. Come tonight, and that will be at 6 o'clock. Well, let's pray, and we will go into the fellowship hall and find a seat at a table, and we'll pray for the food, and we'll be dismissed to get the different kinds of food that we have there. Lord, you have been so good to us. Thank you for meeting with us this morning. And